Hey, everybody, it's Danny. I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Heartway podcast. And I want to give a special thanks to those of you who are tuning in from really all over the world. We're so grateful that you are a part of our community and that you listen in on an ongoing basis. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard, I want to ask you to share this with a friend. You never know the impact that one of these messages can have in another person's life. And if you yourself have been impacted and you'd like to continue to partner with us to keep this work going, check us out at heartwaychurch.com/give. Every dollar that you give goes a really long way towards helping us do what it is that we do. Well, we love you. Really hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hello. Okay. Happy Sunday, everyone. I'm so excited to have all of you here, especially to see all the new faces and the reoccurring faces. It's just so awesome for all of us to be able to get together safely again. My name is Gabby. I'm going to be guiding you all in what's called our centering prayer. It's very simple. If you know how to close your eyes, that's the hardest part. So we're just going to get comfortable, nice seated position. Close the eyes. And I want you to have a nice tall spine. Allow the hands to face up or down. And then slowly, let's begin to deepen our breath. Slowly inhaling, filling up your breath, allowing it to rise up. And then slowly exhaling, releasing the breath. I want you to start to count your inhale. Slowly, 1, 2, 3. As you exhale, repeat, 1, 2, 3. Continue this breathing. And then, my friends, take this time to release anything that happened before this very moment, letting go of the attachments that we have to the mind. Releasing anything that does not serve us. Allow yourself to become blank and open. Open to receive all of God's love. Welcoming His beautiful energy. Allowing yourself to receive peace. Slowly continue to breathe. Filling up the belly. Allowing the breath to rise. See if those shoulders can go back. And then slowly exhale, release. Unclench the jaw. Allow the shoulders to come down. Release the tension that you're holding, not only physically, but emotionally. Let's begin to let go. As you breathe in, I want you to feel as if you're opening yourself up, creating this space now, allowing yourself to be free and light. And as you exhale, I want you to surrender. Let's begin to release it all to God now. Let go of all the weight that you have on your shoulders. Let go of all the expectations that you have for yourself. Let go of who you are supposed to be. And let's begin to accept who we really are. Welcoming God's love, honoring and embracing God by honoring our inner truth. Welcome and accept who you are. Take another slow inhale, counting the breath, and then try and match the exhale as you release. Take a moment to sit with the peace of knowing that you are enough. Honoring the silence. The stillness, that you don't have to do anything to receive God's love. honoring these moments that you have with yourself, that you have with God. Let's remove the sheets that cover our truth. Remove the distractions. Remove all of the uncertainties. And let's wake up to a new beginning. Waking up to our truth. Waking up to the God within us. Honoring that we are different, that we are unique, that we are love. Honor your own intentions. Honor your purpose on this plane. Sit here knowing that you're not here by accident. God chose you to share and spread his love. God chose you to fulfill a purpose. The more you allow yourself to sit with yourself, with God, the more this purpose becomes clear. The more you are able to see the beauty in everyone and everything. Learning to breathe through all the uncomfortable situations that we are put through. Learning that suffering is part of the journey, but it doesn't have to be the stop that you stay at. Breathe through it all. And allow yourself to know that you are never alone. That God is always with you, guiding you, holding your hand through your toughest times and your happiest moments. Honor who you are. Honor all that you do and honor all that you are, for you truly are God's reflection. You were created in his image with so much love. Take a moment to sit in silence, to allow yourself to surrender just a little bit more. When the mind distracts you, just bring yourself back to the breath, slowly counting 1, 2, 3. Exhaling 1, 2, 3. Slowly. Deepen your breath. I want you to fill up your belly. Act like it's a balloon. Fill it up with all the air that you can. Breathe in just a little bit more and then hold the breath. when you're ready to release and surrender, exhale, release. Slowly begin to blink open the eyes, gently bringing yourself back. My friends, so much love to all of you. If this is not in your daily practice, I strongly urge you to try to bring some stillness into your day, even if it's just 1 minute of your day. Close your eyes, take a deep breath, and just release. Amen, my friends, and so much love.
What's up, Heartway family? I know we're still a couple of days out, but Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. So happy that you've decided to tune in to Heartway at Home and join us for this very special occasion. It's that time of year that we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus into this world. A very holy, sacred, meaningful moment for so many people all across the globe. And to get us started, I want us to read a few words from the Gospel of Matthew, a classical Christmas text. Now, the words that we're about to read originated not with Matthew, but with the prophet Isaiah. These are ancient words that were spoken long before Jesus was born, but that for the Christian community came alive in and through the birth of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23, here's what it says. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So as many of you know, this virgin or young woman that's being spoken of in this text is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary has been given a very elevated status and high significance all throughout Christian history, and with reason, because she plays such an important role in the story of Christ. In fact, in the Eastern Orthodox tradition, Mary is given a very unique title. She's given the title and the status of Theotokos. I know that's a word maybe none of us have ever heard of before, but it has a lot of significance. The word literally means God bearer or mother of God. Christmas is all about God being birthed into this world through Mary. But that's not all that the Christmas story is about. Just like the Christmas story is about God being birthed into this world in and through Mary, it's also just as much about God being birthed into this world in and through you and I. To borrow a question that was first given by the Christian mystic Meister Eckhart, what good is it if Mary gave birth to God 2,000 years ago if you and I do not give birth to God here and now, in our day, in our time, in our culture? You see, all of us are meant to be mothers of God. All of us are meant to give birth to God through our love, through our generosity, through our compassion, through our service to others, through our kindness, and also, just as importantly, through our giftings, through our purpose in this world. You see, every single human being, regardless of who you are, has an inner purpose and an outer purpose. Our inner purpose is to live in communion with God, to be in alignment with our true nature. Our outer purpose is about how that plays itself out in the way that we contribute to this world. Another way to think about it is, our inner purpose is about waking up to our true essence. And our outer purpose is about how we bring that essence into the work that we do in this world. Inner purpose is about being. Outer purpose is about doing. When you're able to bring those two things together, inner purpose and outer purpose, That is how you give birth to God in this world, which is why I love so many people that I'm connected to who have gotten a hold of this and who understand this and who actually make it real in their lives. What I mean by that is when this becomes your goal in life, to harmonize inner purpose with outer purpose, to bring your deepest essence into the work that you do in the world, at that point, you're not just a teacher. You're not just a police officer. You're not just a nurse. You're not just a hairstylist. No. All of those roles are vehicles through which you bring about the light of God into this world. And that becomes what is most important about what it is you do. So my question for each and every one of us today is this: what is it that God wants to birth into this world through you? You may not necessarily know what that is right now, and that's okay. But think about these questions. What is it that you're good at? What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you love to do? What is it that you can't see yourself not doing? What is it that you feel a tug towards? What do you think your path is in life? Whatever that may be in this season, and I want to emphasize in this season because it can change over time. There's a lot of anxiety that people carry because they've been told that their calling is just one thing, and that is exactly what it's going to be, solidified and static throughout the rest of their life. Well, not necessarily so. Our calling, our purpose can change over time, but whatever that may look like for you right now, the message of Christmas is summarized best in this passage of Scripture. Zechariah chapter 4. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. If we're honest with ourselves, as we go about doing the work that we're here to do in the world, it can be very easy to get tired, to feel like it's all happening too slow, to feel like we're really not making a difference, to feel like it's not big enough, it's not getting enough attention, it's not being recognized. And when we get to that place when we feel like our efforts are in vain, it's so easy for us to second guess if we're on the right track and if we're on the right path. We even begin to doubt our giftings. We even begin to doubt if we really should be doing what it is that at one point we really knew we were meant to do. Well, the message of Christmas is that the work of God has nothing to do with how big and how grand and how quote-unquote successful your work is, because God oftentimes works in very hidden and subtle ways. Case in point, Jesus. He was born in a manger. The town that Jesus was born in, Bethlehem, was a very small town, maybe 200 to 300 people that lived there in that first century. The town that Jesus grew up in, Nazareth, did not have the best reputation. It was impoverished. In fact, one of the criticisms that was laid out against Jesus later on in his life was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So obviously, people didn't think highly of this place where Jesus was raised and where he came from. Eventually, Jesus, of course, would end up preaching to very large crowds, but his group of disciples were really intimate. He only had 12. Many of the cities that Jesus would go to rejected him and did not want him there. Alongside of that, all of the disciples Jesus did have, eventually, when he got arrested, deserted him and left him. There were many points in Jesus's life when he was almost stoned to death, not accepted by others. And then, of course, his life culminated in his death. his execution by the religious and political authorities of his day. And even in the days after Jesus's death, in the book of Acts, we read that there was really only about 120 people who still considered themselves to be followers of Jesus in that moment. I mean, by the world standards, in those early days of the Jesus movement, this movement could have easily been considered to be a failure. I mean, it's definitely not what the Jews expected. The Jews were expecting a Messiah to come, and they were expecting this Messiah to be really powerful and mighty and strong and to lead them in a revolution. But the Messiah that they got in Jesus ended up being crucified. And that's never the way these people would have expected the Messiah's story to end. By the appearances, this whole Jesus movement could have easily been considered a failure. And yet, things aren't always the way that they appear. Because it was this same movement that seemingly could have been considered to be unsuccessful and insignificant that eventually sparked a worldwide global movement that continues thousands of years later to this day. And so I know it may feel like what you're doing isn't making a difference. I know it may feel like what you're doing isn't truly having an impact. I know it may seem like it does not matter, but what it seems like isn't always an accurate reflection of what it is. Don't ever underestimate your value and your worth just because it seems like the work that you're doing is insignificant. Because the reality of it is, if you're putting your heart into what it is that you're doing, then what you are doing matters. And what you are doing is significant. When you're putting your heart into what it is that you do, it's not about who sees it or who doesn't see it, who appreciates it or who doesn't appreciate it, who acknowledges it or who doesn't acknowledge it, how big it is or how small it is. When your heart is in it, you're not doing it for the results. Results are secondary. Loving what you do, that's primary. And sometimes it's very easy when we get caught up with results to lose our focus, to miss the point, to get off track. So often we want the same results that other people have. We compare our very unique path to the paths of others that are also very unique in their own way. We want the results that those people got, without recognizing that different results sometimes means different headaches. And sometimes getting the results that you want can be the worst thing that can happen to your soul. Because that's where ego trips can get started. I mean, if we're only concerned with getting certain results, well, at what cost? If it all becomes about building our own empire, it's very easy to build your empire on the backs of others. To do so in a way that neglects your family, that neglects your health, that neglects that all of the things that really make life worth living. It isn't necessarily about getting results. It's about enjoying the process. See, making an impact and making a difference isn't about how big, how flashy, how popular your work is. Maybe you being attached to certain results, maybe you wanting your work and your path to look a certain way is what's actually keeping you from enjoying and seeing the beauty of where you are right now in this journey. And I know there's this tug of war that oftentimes we are confronted with between contentment and ambition. I have no doubt that ambition is necessary for success, but spirituality is not about success. By all means, if success is something that you want and that you desire, go for it. Ambition is necessary for that. But when it comes to our spirituality, when it comes to aligning with God and our true nature, it's not about success. It's not about results. It's about contentment. And what I've come to see in my life is that when ambition ends, contentment begins. And we all have to figure out how we want to balance that in our life. But if you're looking for something deeper, something that results can never give you, something that accolades can never give you, something that money can never give you, then maybe you're going to want to take this dive deeper. Maybe you will want to consider what contentment will look like. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't demean or devalue your work because it looks small right now. And don't look down on small middles and endings either. If you're putting your love into what you do, and I really hope my heart is coming across as I communicate this. If you put your love into what you do, there will be somebody somewhere who will see the need for it and who will value what it is that you're doing. And even if they don't, that's fine. Because you are the person who determines the value of your work, not anyone or anything else. There's this spiritual story about a woman who went to school for years, very highly educated. Eventually, she wanted to become a professor. But she was also on a quest for wisdom. She was also on the spiritual path. She was also on this path of self-discovery. And she knew by listening to other wise people speak that oftentimes wisdom does not come through more learning. Wisdom actually comes by unlearning. And so after she graduated and got all of her degrees and went through her education, she began that process of unlearning all of the things that she had learned. And one day she had attained wisdom. Well, her first impulse after she had attained this wisdom was actually to go off to the mountains and live a life of solitude and silence. And yet before she was able to do that, one of her classmates asked her why that was the case, why she wanted to kind of withdraw in that sense. And they had asked this woman, why don't you teach others all of the things that you've learned? Why don't you teach others about this wisdom that you have been able to access within yourself? And the woman replied, well, why would I? It's not like anyone will get it. It's not like anyone will really understand. And the person who had asked her this replied by saying, well, someone might. Someone might get it. And it was that statement, someone might get it, someone might understand, that then drove this wise woman to devote the rest of her life to teaching others, because someone might get it. Even though it seems like no one will understand, someone might. And so I will. You may be at a place right now in your life where you feel like withdrawing. I mean, you've put in so much effort into what you're doing and it doesn't seem to be working out. It seems to be happening way too slow. You don't feel like you're making a difference. You feel like it's all just insignificant. I know what that feels like. Maybe you feel like you're not making an impact. And so you think to yourself, why would I? What's the point? The reality of it is, true impact is not measured by how big things grow or how fast things happen. True impact is measured by the hearts that you touch. Even if the only heart you touch is yours, you've given so much of your energy and devotion. You've poured out so much of your creativity and love. You've taken steps of courage. You've taken risks. You've moved forward even in the presence of fear, even in the presence of criticism, even when other people told you that it wasn't a good idea, that it doesn't seem like the smart thing to do, that this is actually crazy for you to take a chance like this. You still did what you felt your heart was pulling you to do. And that is more than most people can say for themselves. It's worth it. There's a reason why Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a man who planted a small seed in a field. Jesus said it was the smallest of seeds, but eventually over time, it would grow. This is why the scriptures say, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because in due season, in due time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You will see growth. You will see a harvest. Just don't put any expectations on what that should look like. Don't be attached to results and outcomes. Let go of those things. Empty yourself of all of those concerns. And let God birth in and through you that which only you can bring into this world. This world needs what it is that you have to offer. And so give yourself completely to the work that you are here to do in this moment. It's not insignificant. It matters. You are making a difference. And more importantly than all of that, you're growing. It's not about the finish line. You never get to the finish line. It's about loving the process. It's about enjoying the process. And guess what? I have a lot of friends, and you may be one of these people. You've reached the mountaintop. I mean, you were striving after your goals, and you were going after something, and you got it, and then what? It wasn't enough. You went on to the next thing. Because that's how it goes. And so better not to stress and be anxious about the outcomes. Give yourself fully to the work. And so to wrap up, I want to read this prayer from a spiritual teacher by the name of Brennan Manning. It's a beautiful prayer that I hope will speak to each and every one of us today. Let's read it together. It says this, Lord, when I feel that what I'm doing is insignificant and unimportant, help me to remember that everything I do is significant and important in your eyes because you love me and you put me here and no one else can do what I am doing in exactly the way that I do it. Amen.